as we come together on this morning, rejoicing at the addition to the family of God with Brother Charles Smoot. It is always good to have individuals to be obedient unto the gospel, as Brother Charles did on this morning. On last Sunday evening, I started a lesson on Be Thou an Example to the Believers. Be Thou an Example to the Believers. And as we started out, as we would like to do the same on this morning, when we talk about being an example, really, what type of example are we setting? If you would, give attention to the attendance on the board there at 104 on last Sunday morning. As I stated on Sunday night, thanks to the Sheltons. They were out of town the Sunday before last, and we had 102. I do not know what the number is right now, but if I took a minute, 100. Thank you, Brother Thanopoulos. Now, I want to ask you, if you are an example, what type of example are you setting? For on last Sunday evening, we had 52. If you were not in that number of 52, where were you? Where were you? Did you go to work last Sunday morning? I mean, last Sunday evening? Just, I don't know, Sunday evening, you went to work, or just checking. Sometimes we got to check on people. They say they're working, but yet they may be at Walmart or at the park or somewhere else. But Brother Brian was working on last Sunday evening. He was not here. But we have to set a good example, as Paul stressed to Timothy in his writings. We have to be an example to the believers. Now, I want you to consider once again the example that you're setting, not just for the believers, but the example that you're setting for people that are watching your every move. And there are people watching you. You may not believe it, but there are people watching you. We had a lady when we lived in Maryland who would try to put me on Front Street or throw me under the bus when she would come over, and she would say, you didn't go to work yesterday morning, did you? You know, around Anita trying to tell off on me. But the job I had, I didn't have to go to work every day. Or we saw you when you were leaving on Sunday morning going to worship, and we saw what you had on. They would tell you everything you were doing. So we had to set a good example. We had to be an example not just to believers, but also to the unbelievers. But as Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 and the verses 12, 1 Timothy 4 and the verses 12, we have to think about the life here. He told Timothy, he said, "Let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." An example. Be the man that God wants you to be. Be the man that you know that you're supposed to be. Don't worry about how people feel when you're telling them the truth, whether they like it or whether they don't like it. Don't worry about those things. You be an example unto them, and you continue to do what is right. Let no man despise your youth. In word, and I believe we got into the word part on last Sunday evening, but we're going to go right back there again on this morning, because I believe that there are some Christians, I know it ain't no belief to it, we need to hear this. We need to know this, because many times in word we're not doing what we're supposed to do. In conduct, we're not who we're supposed to be. We're not loving the way God would have us to love. And we're not having the spirit, the mind, or that dwells within us to do what is right. We're not showing that spirit to men the way we're supposed to show it in faith. We're lacking sometimes in our attitude toward God's Word. We're not who we are supposed to be because we're not studying the way we're supposed to study. And in purity. Well, we're living some lives that right now, if we die, come judgment, we won't get in. We're not being who God wants us to be. But Paul was stressing to Timothy that you be this way. Don't let no man despise your youth. But be the Christian in which God has called you to be. So as Paul instructs Timothy how to be the proper example to believers in his youth. And if you start out being the right example in your youth, as you grow older, you can be a wonderful example. As the elders we have here, they are to continue to be an example unto us, that we may follow them because they are following the word of God. So you youth, you young men, you need to start now striving to become elders of the Lord's church. You don't have to be. But continue to live your life in a manner that if you want to be, you desire to be, that no one can say you do not qualify. Be the example. Start now. Ecclesiastes 12:1, as Solomon was writing, he wanted to make sure that he instructed the youth on how they should live their lives. Ecclesiastes 12:1. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Oh, there will be a time in our lives where, well, we don't want to do anything. Well, we don't want to be who God wants us to be. We just want to sit back and relax because we say, well, we've done all that we can do, and there's nothing else for me to do. You've lost interest in what God desires of you. But Solomon says, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Remember Him. Remember Him. So, what about this example? What about this example? What does it really mean? You know, there are many examples that we have. You know, when you get ready to you go in school and you get ready to work a problem, a lot of times they have an example for you to follow. A lot of times, if you really don't understand what the example is, you'll copy the example down for your answer. A lot of times it's not the answer. Follow the example. Follow the example. There may be something different, but you got the example that you're supposed to be doing. So in 1 Corinthians 4 to verse 16, as Paul is writing to the church of Corinth here, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 16. He tells them exactly what to do. They looked at the life of Paul. They understood what Paul stood for. They understood who Paul stood for. So Paul wrote unto them and he says, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Be ye followers of me. And, you know, a man could quickly say, well, who was Paul? Who was Paul? Why do we need to follow him? Well, he tells you in 11:1 of 1 Corinthians, follow me, but it's just not me that you're following. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. That's who we are really following. We're following Christ. But we're supposed to be an example to the believers, and we're supposed to be encouraging them to continue to do what they're supposed to do. You know, it makes Anita and I, when young couples, we're around them. None of you couples here now. Just going to point that out because I don't want anyone to say, wonder who would say a thing like that. But sometimes they hang out with us and they'll look at what we're doing or how we're doing, and they say, you know, I would like for our marriage to be like your marriage. Sometimes you got to be careful what you ask for. They don't really understand what all goes on in a marriage when they say that they want your marriage to be like their marriage to be like our marriage. But they're just seeing something, looking from the outside in, and they're seeing these things. And what we try to pattern our life after is what we find in the scriptures. And so when they say that, we encourage them. Well, this is what you do. This is how you can make your marriage work. Put God first. Put God first. So we have to be a good example. And when someone tells us that, we need to make sure that we point them to God's word and say, this is what we're doing. This is who we're following. We're following after the pattern which we find in Scripture. And so Paul is going to give a six-point plan on how to be an example to believers. A lot of times we say, we don't know what to do. We have no idea how to be an example. So Paul says, I'm going to clear that up for you, Timothy, as he writes to him. Timothy didn't say how, but Paul wrote to him and told him how. And I want us to look at it. Because a lot of times we don't know who is supposed to be an example. Because we always want to look up to the ones that are older. We want to look at them, and sometimes we shouldn't look at them. We need to look at some that are in middle age, and sometimes we shouldn't even look at them. We need to look at some young people, and we should see what they're doing. And then we take all three and we say, well, this older person was doing this, the younger person, the middle aged person was doing this, the young person was doing this. Which one was doing it right? And it comes to the understanding that all three of them was doing it exactly the way God wanted them to be. So who's to be an example? Who's to be an example? Every Christian. Every Christian. Amen. Brother Charles Smoot, who was baptized on this morning, he's supposed to be an example. The oldest person here, as a Christian, is supposed to be an example. To all that are around, to each Christian is to be an example to another Christian. We find in the book of Philippians chapter 3, the one that's mature, the one that has grown, the one that has an understanding, the knowledge of God's word and able to share it with others and help them out in the situation in which they get themselves in, is supposed to be an example because he's mature or she's mature and she's not falling by the wayside as some other Christians may do, but they are mature, they're steadfast in God's word, they're grown as we pray for our new converts to do on today. That they may grow, that they may become mature in God's word. Philippians chapter 3, starting with verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already obtained. Let us walk by the same rule, and let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Now, a lot of times when we hear that word mark, we're looking at marking someone for doing something that's wrong. But Paul, as he writes to the church of Philippi here, he's telling them, you mark them that are doing things right, and you follow after them, for they're following after Christ. Mature Christians. We need to be the example. New Christians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Now you find a man that's been a Christian for 3 or 4 years. A lot of times he says, you know, I'm still a babe in Christ. You're no longer new. You done wore the new off. So focus on what God wants you to do and be mature. But a new Christian in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 7, or 6 through 9. 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 6 through 9. And be ye followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word with much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. You've done what you're supposed to do. Oh, we're coming through and we're seeing it happen because you've been the example. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And the three different occasions you have seen where Paul wrote unto the church of Corinth to be an example, be a follower of me. In Philippians, be an example, be ye followers of those that are doing things right. In Thessalonica, he's writing there in 1 Thessalonians to be an example, to be a follower, be thus-minded, have the mind of Christ. See, this is for every Christian to show that God is with them by living a life that God is pleased with. Young Christians, as Paul wrote to him, you be an example. Let no man say, oh, you're too young to preach God's word. You're too young to teach God's word. Who are you to tell me what to do? You should be looking at me because I'm older. No. Paul says, Timothy, don't let that bother you. You be an example. Let no man despise your youth. And preachers should be an example. Preachers should be an example. And we have some preachers that are being the example that they're supposed to be. And then we have some other preachers that are not doing so well. I have to say this because there are so many people that get caught up on the preacher that they forget about the message that are being preached. I'm not going to tell you to follow after preachers, but I'm going to tell you to look at them as being an example. If they're not setting the proper example, you need to let them know you're not doing what you're supposed to do. You need to change your lifestyle. You need to change your friends because there are some preachers that are messing up. But for Titus and Timothy, they were preachers that Paul wrote to, and he encouraged them to do what was right. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. As he writes to him once again, as we see it, we've read it, we're going to read it one more time. Read it one more time. We didn't read it on last Sunday evening. We went straight to Titus, but we're going to read it on this morning. Again, he says, let no man despise your youth. Be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Timothy, be the example. Be the example. Titus chapter 2, as he wrote unto Titus, in Titus chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. Titus chapter 2, well, this is my life, I'm going to live it the way I want to live. Paul said, look, Titus, this is what you need to do. He said, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Be an example. Be an example. As Paul wrote to those two preachers, he gave them some very good advice, some words that they could live by. They could go and they could get this letter out and they could read it and say, you know, this is what Paul wrote to me. And this is what I want to show you. And so as we have the Word of God before us on today, let us make sure that we are the example that God wants us to be. So we find every Christian, preachers, and elders. Elders need to be an example. As Peter instructs And Peter did not exclude himself from this number. He did not exclude himself from this number. So many times we'll find people telling others what to do, but yet they're not doing it. But Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, 2, and 3. Verse 1, 2, and 3. The elders which are among you I exhort, whom am I also an elder, and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. He says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but for a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being an example to the flock. Now, as Peter wrote this, and he was addressing the elders now, not just the older people in the congregation, but the elders, the leaders of the congregation. He says, feed the flock of God which is among you. We have four elders here. The four elders we have here, they don't go over to another congregation and try to tell them what to do. That's not their flock. Here is where they're leaders. Here is where we need them to lead us in a manner in which God is pleased with. He says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not of filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. See, we need some elders that will work with the people. We need some elders that will be an example unto the people. We need some elders that are willing to stay in the bounds of God's word. The boundaries there, looking at what God wants them to do and doing those things because they know that God will be pleased with them. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Even as we hear the instruction that Peter gives unto the elders, we need to listen to the instruction that the Hebrew writer gives to us. Those of us that are supposed to be following these men that are leading us in a manner that God is pleased with. It says in Hebrews 13, verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you and who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Consider the end of their conversation. Listen to them. Follow them. Do what is right. Remember that one day your life will all be over. You won't have any other breath to breathe, but the thing that you have to worry about is standing before the judgment. If you've had elders to lead you down the wrong path because you were not in the word, you will not get in. So we need to look at elders as being examples. Being examples. All Christians to strive to be proper examples to one another. Not just the mature Christian, not just the new Christian, not just the preachers, not just the elders, not just the deacons, but every Christian should strive to be the proper example to one another. It's not my responsibility. Well, whose responsibility is it? Whose responsibility to be an example? And so as we think about it, whose responsibility is it, we need to look at the kind of example we're to be. In word, the example. What do you mean in word? Let's look at it. This can refer to speech, couldn't it? Very much so. A lot of times we say things which we're not supposed to say, and people are hearing what we're saying, and they're like, man, he's not setting a very good example. But this could refer to in speech. So we must use care in what we say and how we say it. We must give men the answer that they need to hear, and as we give them the answer they need to hear, we make sure that that's exactly what that man needs to hear, and then the next man, we need to make sure that we give him what he needs to hear. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, Paul writes to the church of Ephesus, and he says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So you speak the things that are right. You make sure you tell them the things that are going to lift them up, that are going to build them up, that are going to edify them. You tell them those things. This is for every Christian. This is for every Christian. But did he not just write to Timothy and tell Timothy to be an example in word? Yes, but that just wasn't for Timothy. That was for every Christian. That we need to realize that we need to be an example. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. None. Chapter 5, verse 4 and verse 12. Chapter 5, verses 4 and verse 12. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather the giving of thanks. Verse 12, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. So we need to be careful of the things that we repeat, the things that we hear. We need to be careful of who we tell those things to. He says, for it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. So many times we may find ourselves caught up in gossiping about some things that we should keep to ourselves. And instead of talking about them, we need to be praying about them, that that person may overcome those things, because we want to be the example that God would have us to be. Speech must be grace, seasoned with salt. Seasoned with salt in Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Many times, again, we are not saying what we need to say. We're not saying that how we need to say it. And people are missing the mark because they do not know how to be an example because you are not setting the proper example yourselves. Colossians 4, verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Every man. Those that are in Christ, those that are out of Christ, those that are mature Christians, those that are young Christians, that you may not know how to answer them. Seasoned with salt. This can refer to doctrine. This can refer to doctrine in word. You know, many times there are people that say things, that they say this in God's word, and you're looking for it, and you're looking for it, and you're just racking your brains trying to find it. You're on the internet, and you're typing in all these little words, go through search engines, and you never can find it. You know what happens a lot of times? You give up hope. You throw it in the towel. The person that told you that was in God's word has led you astray. They have become a bad example to follow. So we need to make sure that we have book, chapter, and verse for the things that we teach, the things that we preach. Timothy was instructed about what he taught in 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, the verses 6. 1 Timothy 4, the verses 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast obtained. Verse 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Verse 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save thyself and them that fear you. Be an example. He's writing to him and he's telling him, this is what you need to do. Stay in the word of God. And stay with the doctrine, because men need to hear it. Whether in a private conversation or public teaching, Christians must display an example of speaking the truth with grace. It's to benefit yourselves, and it's to benefit those that hear you. So let's make sure we say the right things. Let's make sure we do the right things. Be an example in conduct. Should demonstrate meekness and wisdom. We're talking about wisdom from the book of Ecclesiastes, looking at the wisdom that Solomon had. And looking at there were some that wasn't so wise, and then there were others that were really wise. Even at times, as Solomon talked about himself, he didn't always show or be the example in his conduct. Paul writes to Timothy and he said, you be the example in conduct, in conduct. In James chapter 3, verse 13. James chapter 3, verse 13. We should be examples in our conduct as well. As James wrote to the 12 tribes that were scattered abroad, this is what he wrote to them. One of the things he wrote here in James 3, 13, who is a wise man and endowed with knowledge among you? Let him show out of good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. In his conversation, in his conduct, in his activities, let him show these things. Let him show these things. Are we showing that today? Were we showing it on yesterday? Will we show it on tomorrow? In your conduct, how you conduct yourselves in a manner that should be pleasing unto God? Are you doing these things? Are you the example? Must display holiness, reverence, and purpose. You know, we must be able to explain some things that we do in purpose. Why are you doing that? Why do you always, every time I see you, you're reading God's word? Because I want you to see my actions. Not really, I'm really not showing it for you. I'm doing it for myself. But since you're seeing it, I'll tell you about it. You're asking the question. I'm going to tell you why I'm doing these things. I'm doing these things because this is what God is pleased with. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 through 19. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 through 19, as the scripture reference was read. But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. For if you call on the Father, who without respect of person judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Be ye holy because I am holy. Are we able to show that? Are we able to do that? Yes, we are. We can be Christ-like because the Bible tells us we can. Paul, once again, be followers of me as I am of Christ. We need to be holy. Conduct must be honorable among believers. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, must be honorable. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Brother Theodos was talking about this morning. He said, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from these things. Stay away from those things, which war against your souls, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may be your good works, which they shall behold glorify God in the day of visitation. Oh, if people look at us, what do they see? When people look at us and what do they hear? If they're hearing and seeing all the wrong things, we are not the example that we need to be. In love. Love, as we find it, it's an action word. You can tell me all day long you love me, but until you show love, words mean nothing. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He showed his love to the world. And so as we look at it and we see it, we examine it, we need to do what we're supposed to do. Brotherly love, affection, goodwill, love, benevolence. You know, we find these different words that describe or explain, define what love is all about. Active goodwill. You know, he once loved me or she once loved me. Once. What about now? What are you doing now? Love must be shown toward whom? God and brethren. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. It must be shown. Can't just say it. Had a sister, we used to say, you know, I love you. Her reply was, really? What she was saying is, you're not showing that you love me. She wanted some affection. She wanted you to show her that you loved her, to do something for her, to lend a helping hand. Just to lend it for her to turn it down would be enough to show that you love her. We need to try that sometime. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all thy mind. Love. I mean, we need to be doing some things. We can't just, you know, sit at the house and say, I love God. Oh, I love the Lord. Oh, I love God's people, but you're never giving any time to God. You're never showing Jesus that you love him by keeping his commandments. You're never showing the brethren that you love them by gathering together with them. But yet you say that you have love. The answer to that is no, you do not, if you're not doing what you're supposed to do. 1 John chapter 4, verse 11. 1 John chapter 4, verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. God loved us, so why not love one another? Is it so hard to demonstrate your love? Is it so hard to give your love? Is it so hard to just even, you know, I say that we tell people we love them, but yet we don't show it. A lot of times we find it difficult to tell people we love them. So if you don't tell them, sometimes it's really going to be hard to show them. Some things we need to be, well, there's not some things. All things we are taught. We're taught how to love. We see love all throughout the scriptures. And as we see love throughout the scriptures, we need to make sure that we do what God wants us to do. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, we find it easy to love some people. Other people, we say, man, it's hard to love him, or it's hard to love her. Oh, they won't let me love them. My love should not depend on you. Our love should not depend on anyone else. Our love should depend on what God has done for us. In the book of Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, he says, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Enemies don't love you back, but love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Love, brethren, is the key. Love is the key. Love your fellow man. Whether they're in Christ or out of Christ, love them. Be the example to others that you need to be by showing your love toward all men. In a world where love is lacking, Christians must exemplify this virtue. A woman said, I told you the other day, a woman said as we were knocking those doors, she said, you know, it has been said that this is the only Bible that some of you would ever read. Our lives, the love that we demonstrate is the love that some will only see. They will not see it anywhere else, so we need to demonstrate this in our lives. What kind of example are we to be? In spirit. Refers to the inward zeal, the disposition or attitude. Christians must be fervent in spirit. And he is spirit-filled. What does that mean? What does that mean? When you go and you talk to someone in the denominational world, they can give you all kinds of reasons why they say this person is full of the Spirit. And then, as one of my dear brothers would say, or have said, he once had these spirits, but now he has the Spirit. So we have to be careful. When we look at the spirits that we have, to be fervent in spirit, in good works, we find as Paul once again was writing unto Titus, he said, you know, you need to be, you know, this in good works. What exactly is a good work? You remember in Matthew chapter 7 where those were standing before Jesus, you know, said, but did we not do many wonderful works? You know, when they were doing those wonderful works, obviously it wasn't in the fervent spirit that it needs to be in, because they did not get in, or they would not get in. So in Titus chapter 2, verse 14, once again, Titus chapter 2, verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Brethren, we have to know about Jesus Christ. And we have to read about his life. And as we read about his life, we need to get an understanding that we need to wake up and say, you know, I'm ready to be about the Father's business. And as we're about the Father's business, we can go and we say, this is why I'm doing this. This is why I'm here to help you. And as we are doing these good works, we need to remember it's in our service to God, because he requires us to do so. And as he requires us to do so, once again, we go back to the scriptures. So let's be an example in spirit. In Romans chapter 12, the verse is 11. Romans chapter 12, the verse is 11. Paul writes to the church of Rome here, and he says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. How's your spirit today? How's your service to God today? What type of good works are you doing, and with what attitude are you doing them? Are you able to love one another as Christ has loved us? Are you able to demonstrate this love so that people may be pleased with it? That they may say, now that's the example that I need to be. Christians must demonstrate an example of enthusiasm in their service. Must. Well, I don't feel like it today. Why do you not feel like it today? Are you going to feel like it tomorrow? You didn't feel like it yesterday. What seemed to be the problem? The problem is that you have the wrong spirit about you. And so we need to change those things. And as we change them because of what we read in God's Word. So be an example in faith. Christians must possess a strong faith. A strong faith, not a weak faith, not a dead faith, but a strong faith. Assurance, belief, faith, fidelity. That's the way Strong's defined it. It can refer to one's belief or the faithfulness of one's character. What type of faith do you have? What are you doing that's going to show that you are a child of God and that God is pleased with your work? That you are the example that you're supposed to be to those that are around you. You know, we tell our Christians sometimes, the new converts, that you need to hang out with faithful Christians. But, you know, that's a little bit of double talk there when you start talking about a faithful Christian. Christians are supposed to be faithful. They're supposed to be faithful. This faith must be true regarding what? Faith in God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Faith in God. Faith in God. You know, there are many people that are looking for God, but they're looking in what? All the wrong places. So this faith that we're talking about, having a faith in God, look what the scripture says. God does not lie. He says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How's your faith today? How's your faith? Is it how God wanted? Is it what God wants? Are you demonstrating these things? Character or dependability? I told you that there was a man that was preaching. A preacher was preaching about faith, being faithful. And one of the brothers said, I'm tired of you preaching about being faithful. So he looked at one of the brothers. He said, give me another word to talk about faithful. He said, dependable. He said, well, we're going to talk about being dependable today. Gods need to be able to depend on you. Other Christians need to be able to depend on you. And if they're not able to depend on you, you're no good in the service of God. So we need to look at our faith. Be the example that we're supposed to be. In the book of Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, the latter part, be thou what? Faithful unto death. You know, faithful unto death. Hold on. It's going to be all right. Hold on. Be faithful. People need to be able to depend on you. At all times. In all trials, show to the believers by your example how they ought to maintain unshaken confidence in God. And if I've gone through what he's gone through, I'd have gave up on God. Why don't you, as Job's wife said, why don't you curse God and die? Foolish people are not faithful people. We need to understand that. So let's be faithful unto God. Let's have faith. Then find that we must be an example in purity. Purity is sinlessness of life. Are we living the way God wants us to live? Are we who God wants us to be? The word that is used in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 2, we find that purity is what God is pleased with. And if God is pleased with it, man can't do nothing but be pleased with it. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 2, he said, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity. With all purity. So don't go over old Sister Sally's house because she's a bad example. Now, if you go over here to Sister Susie's now, she's the woman that she's supposed to be. She's being the example that she's supposed to be. She's living her life sinless so that others can say, you know, that's who I want to grow up to be like. You know, I want my children to learn from her because I'm not really teaching them the right things, but let's take them over to her house and let her sit down and teach them for a while. Refers to moral or sexual purity, both in thought and act. A lot of times we always say, well, I didn't do nothing. But what did you think about doing? We need to be pure in our thoughts. Born says there should be nothing in your contact with the other sex that would give rise to scandal. Let's think about that for a moment. We need to conduct ourselves in a manner that God is pleased with. And as we conduct ourselves in a manner that God is pleased with, we stay away from certain things and we stay away from certain people. So let's remember that it's just not about what we say or think, but it's about what we do, and just the opposite. It's not just what we do, but it's what we say and what we think. Clark says, chastity of body and mind, a direction peculiarly necessary for a young minister who has more temptations to break his rules than perhaps any other person. So Paul was trying to get Timothy to realize that you have to conduct yourself in a manner that God would be pleased with. In purity, stay away from certain things. Do not put yourself in certain situations. You know, some preachers have to learn the hard way. Yeah, I need to try this for myself. No, you don't need to try it for yourself. You need to look at what the Scripture says and do what God's Word says. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, as Paul wrote to Timothy here, you know, obviously, you know, although Timothy was told by his mother and grandmother, Paul may have seen something that happened in Timothy's life that he had to say, let me go ahead and tell you about this, Timothy. Let me go ahead and get you straightened on this right now. I don't want you to go down this road, or I want you to turn from that way. Not saying that that's what he was doing, but this is what he told Timothy. He said, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. This is what you do. When you're trying to live right, he said, call upon God with a pure heart. You know, the question is asked sometimes, well, how do we live faithful unto God? How do we be who God wants us to be? I'm not doing anything wrong. Or you're doing anything at all. Paul was telling Timothy here. He says, when you live like this, when you follow after things, he said, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You need to do some other things. You know, look at these people. Do what is right. Be the example that you must be. We must call on the Lord out of a pure heart. No doubt. No doubt. We must do these things because this is what God is pleased with. Our example must be one that illustrates the power of the gospel and manifests it in what? In words. In words. In conduct, in our actions, in love, showing this love, demonstrating this love, in spirit. How is your spirit this morning? Are you down in spirit? Are you up in spirit? Or, you know, have I broken your spirit? I don't know. Have I uplifted your spirit by the word of God? In faith. In faith. Let's look at what God wants to do and let's do those things in purity. What kind of church will we be if everyone followed our own example in these things? What kind? May this motivate us this morning to examine our lives and correct any deficiencies found. Any deficiency. You know, when you go to those restaurants, you know, the thing that's right there at the door looking at you when you go in, they got an A. We went somewhere the other day and they had an A and it was an 89. Anita said, she looked past the A and she said, they got an 89. I said, baby, that's good. 89? You know, just think, if I made an 89 in school, I would have been like, yes, this is great. But you want to think about those deficiencies that they had to get an 89, and did they correct them? What deficiencies do you have in your life today? What do you need to correct in your life today? Let's be the people that God wants us to be in everything that we do. As Paul wrote to the church of Colossians, whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Are you doing that today? Are you the example that God wants you to be? If you're here and you're not a Christian, what's holding you back? The things that we talked about today, you can demonstrate those things in your life by becoming a Christian today and allow someone to follow you because you have followed after what God wanted you to do. You pattern your life after Christ. You're not a Christian and you want to become one, come today and make the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and have your sins washed away in the water of great baptism as Brother Charles did on this morning. Maybe you're here and you're straight away from the fold and you're ready to come back. Don't hesitate. We're going to ask you to come this morning as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.